Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Well, people are back to the Nintendo gloom and doom
again. Perpetually doomed.
Perpetually. And why does this keep happening, and is it getting out of control?
Doom since 1889.
Apparently.
TM. Put it on a t-shirt.
Put that on a shirt.
Put it on a t-shirt.
Yeah, put that on a shirt.
But yes, the cycle has started again.
Yes.
And a lot of it seems to be coming out of this latest financial result, which I guess you could look at a number of different ways where it's like, all right, the reporting on the last year was very good, being very transparent about challenges ahead, raising the price, probably not going to sell as many in the upcoming fiscal year. And as a result, the stock has, I mean, it is remarkable when you look at the kind of
the chart,
over the past, you know, year to 2 years of Nintendo's stock going way down.
It has taken a
big old
nosedive.
Way down. So I think, though, like, we need to collectively take a deep breath and kind of look objectively at what is happening. And I think we've come to the realization of, like, there's not really too much to be really genuinely worried about.
No.
I mean, it's easy to look at the stock going, like, numbers going down, way down. Like, well, that's really bad. But I think we want to dig into, like, a lot of the reasons for that and talk about, like, how Nintendo is managing its business and how it's actually, like, really in a much better position than the vast majority of companies in gaming.
Exactly. It's like Nintendo has always been held to a slightly different standard. And there are definitely factors that is upcoming for Nintendo that's going to be a challenge. I think no one is denying that, us included. We talked about in our financials video, like, they do have some things that they're going to need to solve for going into next year, but they seem to be equipped to do that. But yeah, this sort of knee-jerk reaction to one data point and then immediately jumping to the conclusion like, oh, this means it's over for them. This means the Switch generation is over. I think that's definitely overdramatic, and there's a number of things that we want to talk about that kind of points to the opposite of that.
Yeah. So let's start with the point of the stock, because, again, I think it's like a very shocking visual that a lot of people are just reacting to and taking, like, just on that of like, well, I guess it's over. Specifically for Nintendo, the stock price is really not a good indicator for how the company is doing.
Right.
To the extent that if you don't actually own the Nintendo shares, and that most people don't, we don't.
No.
You should probably not even really bother looking at it.
Yeah, it's so different than, like, the stock of a tech company or...
I mean, most, like, Western companies.
Western companies,
honestly,
yes.
Where they are, like, truly, like...
Living and dying.
Building a lot of how they manage their business in a way that drives the stock price up and as high as it can go.
Right,
and
right.
That's been, like, a newer phenomenon maybe over the last, like, 10 years or so specifically. But I think it's something that we have all felt where it's like, hey, these businesses are not really trying to create the best product, the best service. They're creating shareholder value.
Yeah.
And they're
Nintendo is like the opposite of that.
And they're profiting as a result. And, like, compared that to Ad, and, like, this is our direct experience of working there. It's like they are, it's like, yeah, we have a stock. Like, it goes up, it goes down. We're not terribly concerned on the day-to-day number.
Right.
Their belief is, like, we have a long-term plan and long-term the value will shine through in the work that we do. And that's very counter to how people who are playing the stocks game look at things.
Yeah, and the other thing is that, like you were saying, you know, a lot of companies, especially Western companies, especially tech companies, they're making products, they're launching things to help juice the stock.
Right.
That's how that game works. And when they see like potential downturn in their stocks, they just counteract that by announcing some new stuff. And Nintendo,
or we're laying people off.
Or we're laying people off, or we're doing something.
The investors love that.
Yeah, we're doing something that will make the investors more money.
Right, right.
But Nintendo is like quite the opposite of that. Like, they never let the stock price drive their announcement strategy. Like, they would never, for example, like, oh no, look at the stock. It's lowest that it's been for a long time. We better announce that 3D Mario
now. That's why we sometimes see people saying, like, oh, that Nintendo Direct's probably going to happen right before the financials. Like, that's not really...
That's not how it works.
How they look at it or what they're looking to accomplish. And again, like, so this other approach that we were talking about that we see so often in most companies is very short-term driven. Mm-hmm. It's like quarter to quarter. Like, oh my gosh, the number has to go up or we're going to get killed and I'm no longer going to be a billionaire. Oh no, I'm not going to be a multi-billionaire. I'm going to be a single billionaire. My life is going to be over. There was a saying that many people told us at Nintendo, which was, nobody ever works at Nintendo to get rich.
It's so true.
And look, like, you don't see anybody from Nintendo on the world's richest people. Like, they don't show up and like compare like the compensation for the people. It's like, yeah, they make a lot of money at the top, but it's nowhere near
like
how much.
Like a tech billionaire
which is
salary.
In like a ridiculous like double digits, like out of control.
Like
number.
Even Furukawa, who's at the very top of the company, like he definitely is not poor.
Right.
He's making a good salary. Right. But it's not to the level of like a Mark Zuckerberg, you know?
It's one of those things where like everybody there is truly like bought into the vision and the mission that the company is doing. And, and like this is something we heard from people in Japan. This is something we heard from, this is something Don James, like one of the original employees at Nintendo of America, specifically like told a group of us who was talking to our team. He was like, nobody here gets rich. And like, there could be a lot of people. You'd be like, well, okay, that's not for me. I'm out. I'm actually here to get rich.
I'm out.
But like, that doesn't happen. So I think that speaks to like how compelling the vision and the mission is for the people who are there and how easily it is to just like, investors, what do they know?
Yeah, exactly. It's very different. Like, unlike, you know, a lot of other companies, they're not like living or dying by what the investors are saying. They're not living or
dying. We're not trying to juice these numbers.
By what the stock is doing. Like, at Nintendo of America, we didn't even get shares. That was not part of our compensation package. So, you know, it was from an employee perspective of like not really caring about the stock. Like, I've worked at other companies where, yes, a big part of my salary was based off of stocks. And so I did care. I wanted the stock to go up because I wanted to have a better compensation package. But that was not a thing at Nintendo.
Right.
So just like from just the people that were working within the company, like doing the things, making the products, they're not looking at this.
Right.
They're not concerned by this.
Right. So I've pulled a chart of the stock for like since 2000.
Yeah.
And obviously since then the stock is high up. But you do see this peak happening around the time of the Switch 2 coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's fallen quite a bit, but it's fallen to a level which was kind of like consistent with where Nintendo was at during the Switch generation.
Yeah.
When things were going great.
Yeah. But
only the number two best-selling console ever. Maybe one day it'll be number one, but who knows? So it's like, let's look at this comparatively. It's like, yes, it is down, but it's not down to an amount where it's like, oh, the company is in absolute financial dire straits. That's not really the fact. And you know, there is kind of a peak around 2020. That's when the pandemic happened.
Mm-hmm.
Nintendo was inadvertently
a beneficiary of that
of the pandemic happening. And you can kind of see, like, you know, lock these into different times. It's like, yes, like investors are going to heavy up on certain times. And the way that Nintendo does not cater to those investors, I think, is always going to lead to this kind of disappointment where it's like, they had this chance to go big and to make us a ton of money. They didn't do it. We're out.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's where you see these dips happening.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I mean, this chart overall is still in the green. So it's not like they've sunk lower than, you know, the Wii U era or anything like that. So
I think another point we want to make is like, again, looking at Nintendo in the broader sense of the industry, where it's like, okay, if looking at Nintendo's results, if you think they're doomed, then you must also think that the entire video game
industry is
doomed.
For the whole entire video game industry. And this is where I say, like, Nintendo sometimes gets held to a much different standard. Yeah. Because if you look at what Nintendo is doing, they are producing so much more than anybody else in the industry. And they're selling, you know, Switch 2 is breaking all these records so much faster than any other console ever has in the industry. So, like, if this is not a result that's good enough, then, gosh, everyone else must be really failing.
Everybody's really failing.
Yeah.
And is absolutely, like, going the way of the dinosaurs. So, again, like, they sold 20 million units in its first 12 months on the market of the Switch 2, which has never been done. And we saw all the records that were broken along the way. And yet, I see this number getting, like, discounted by a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like, it was some kind of a trick or some kind of a bubble or something. It's like, I don't really understand the way that that number gets discussed. It's not really looked at like, oh, that's actually super
impressive. It's a record-breaking number.
They're set up to have a really successful generation. It's always like, not going to last for long. Can't keep that up forever.
Yeah,
that's often how it's looked at.
They definitely have a number of challenges to keep the momentum.
Everybody does.
Right. Everybody does. And it's one of those things where, yes, like, perhaps, you know, the phenomenon of the sales record is so big that it feels like something that will disappear, but it still shows the, you know, the viability and the popularity and just like the awareness of Nintendo within all the people. You know,
right.
People understand what this thing is, they see the value in it, they know Nintendo, they know the brand, they recognize that. Like, that's something like companies would die to have.
Yeah.
And, you know?
And the things that Nintendo said in their financials are true. They said the sales were front loaded. Yes, that's very true. The sales are probably going to not reach the same number over the upcoming year. Yes, that's probably true. But they have proven we have a product that people want.
Yeah.
And we saw a number of times, like Pocopia is the latest example of like, and if we release a hot game for this platform, it's going to pop.
Yeah.
And I don't know what better system you could ask for versus like, yes, people want the system, and when we release a cool game, people will buy it.
Yeah.
And so that goes into what is your game's ecosystem.
Right.
And it's interesting because sometimes we hear people saying like, oh, the Switch 2 has no games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, I don't really know what people mean when they say that.
It's not a game that they want to play.
It's not the game that they want.
It's not their fill in the blank game.
Right. But we did the math, so there were 10 first-party games released over 11 months that it's been on the market. It hasn't even been a full 12 months yet, and this is not counting Switch 2 Edition. So this is like original games.
First-party, yeah.
And then if you count the upcoming games that have launch dates through the end of July, we did not count Fire Emblem because it doesn't yet have a date, that'll take you to 13 months. 13 first-party games in 13 months.
So it's one game a month, basically.
So literally a game a month.
And which is what they did with the Switch 1 generation. So they have not stopped the pace of that.
Right. And I think that's remarkable. There have definitely been some signs of them having some growing pains of getting acclimated to the new generation. Remember last summer when there was like no games dated into the holidays and we were getting late of like, hey, what's going on? But they did figure it out. The games came out.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
So a game a month compared to like what we see from other first parties where it's like, yeah, we'll have a handful of games a year, but it's nowhere on this level.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think we own PS5, we own Xbox. We love those. Like I Yes, please sign me up for a world where Sony can make
a game a
12 really great games a year that I'm interested in playing. But yeah. They're not capable.
They can't do that.
They're not capable of doing that. Even Xbox, for all of the crazy acquisition spree that they've been on, they've had those studios for years. They're not capable of doing that. So again, going back to our point of release a cool game, they're giving themselves the most number of chances to release that game that, again, is going to pop off and going to drive their sales.
Yeah, it's going to be, like, each of the games is for a particular audience.
Right.
But, you know, it's not like, we're not saying that, like, of course, all 13 games are ones that you're going to buy.
Yoshi's The Mysterious Book is not going to smash sales records, but it serves a purpose. Mm-hmm. It reaches a specific audience
exactly.
that they want to reach and is deeming to be important.
Mm-hmm.
And it sure beats having nothing.
Yeah, at least there's something that you can talk about every month. And also, these games do sell really well. Like, 6 of these games have sold well
right.
over a million, with some of them in the upwards of, like, you know, the 4 to 5 million range. I think Mario Kart World, we were looking, has already sold more than 14 million. So these games are very popular and are selling to the people that bought a Switch too.
And that goes into that number that they're clearly very proud of, is like the active players, the people who are still playing. And the best way to do that is to keep releasing games on a regular interval. So there's never any chance to put the system down and be like, oh, I forgot about that. I'm off playing on my PC or my PS5 now. Oh yeah, I still own a Switch too. It's like, no, if you keep playing games on it, you're always engaged with it, and that doesn't happen.
Yeah, and of course, this doesn't even count all the great third-party support that they're getting and all the
indie games
stuff's
been really good so far.
Yeah.
And then, like, again, you know, there was some news that came out after this when Mr. Furukawa was like, yeah, we have unannounced games. And that got treated like it was, like,
breaking news.
Gasp. I can't believe he just said that. It's like,
duh.
What did you think was going to happen? Did you think there were not going to be any games? So obviously, we don't even know beyond July what the games lineup will be. We know they like to have big games in the holiday.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you can just assume that it's like, the lineup is going to continue. There are probably going to be some cool games. There have been some leaks if you've been paying attention.
Yeah.
I guess the investors don't pay attention
they
to
should.
Those.
They should just watch Nate's podcast.
That's what you want. I think this is to Nintendo's point of, like, how plugged in are these investors who are you know, managing a portfolio, a lot of different things. Like, they're not as plugged in to kind of what's in the grapevine, where it's like the Nintendo fan community is, like, kind of, like, bought into this idea of, like, oh yeah, all these things after Star Fox, all these things are probably coming, and then the investors are just, like, shaking their fists,
like, where are the games
and,
or something,
asking really basic questions to Mr. Furukawa. It's like they're not actually that plugged in.
Right.
They're not gamers.
They're
investors.
They're not.
Right. So we shouldn't let their view of the company dictate how we feel of the people who are playing and experiencing the product.
And that's why Nintendo doesn't put a lot of, like, stock into these investors, because they know this about them. You know,
right.
They're just like, they're the kind of there, but they're not going to let these out of touch, not plugged in people dictate any decision making.
Right. So for the most part, been able to keep up this pretty, you know, rapid monthly game release schedule.
Sure. Some of those games may not be your taste, but they have released the game pretty much once a month.
Probably going to have some cool games for the holiday.
Yeah, they haven't announced that yet.
Pokemon already been announced. That's coming next
Winded
year. That's great. That's a big anchor for next year. And then if it's not this year, at least with Nintendo, it's like, you know, we're going to have a Mario game at some point in the generation. We're going to have a big new 3D Zelda game at some point in the generation.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know. It's like some of the others, like the consistency and the quality of those. It's like, you know, on Sony, it's like, Uncharted was a big thing for a while. It's like, now we don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
We've moved on. That team's moved on. It's like the Mario team is not moving
on. They're not moving on. They're
going to keep making Mario.
The Zelda team is not moving on.
Right.
They're
going to
make some more 3D Zelda games.
Exactly. It's like, Halo is big, and then we handed it over to this other studio, and they're kind of like trying to make their way back. It's like, all right, that's the challenge that Nintendo kind of doesn't
have. They really do not have this. Yeah.
The same degree. The other thing we hear people saying is like, the Switch 2 generation just doesn't feel that fun.
Maybe it's not as exciting. You know, sometimes I feel this myself.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they're, again, like leaks, depending on how you feel about leaks, that can rob a lot of the excitement, like a lot of the things that were new, like when Nintendo Directs were new.
Yeah.
That was very exciting.
And again, like if they announce a game that's not really like your cup of tea, like you may not be that excited about it,
right,
you know?
Right.
So that's very fair.
Right. But it's also true, like gaming exists in this like 24/7 discourse chamber
more and more so
that is kind
days.
Of designed to suck the fun out of literally any topic, like any topic that gets put in this, it ultimately boils down to like, I hate this thing.
Exactly.
So it's like, even if you were like, oh, I like this, I want to engage on it, you get exposed to all
to
of
negativity.
The negativity, and that can make you feel bad about the thing that you're doing. And it's true, like that existed in 2017, or the internet now has been around for a long time, but it's bigger than ever before. These algorithms are tuned in a way that
they reward
that's
negativity.
Different now that we see them rewarding negativity.
They reward the drama.
Right.
They don't reward positivity. And so you're not serviced those messages of people actually enjoying things.
Right. So
it's good to just step away from that.
You know? So if you're like, well, I wanted to go online and see something that's gonna make me feel good about games, and then you just see a rash of things that are making to make you feel bad. It's like, yeah, that's not as fun.
No fun.
That's actually not as fun at all.
It's not fun at all.
That's not fun.
Yeah.
I want to go back to like the business side of thing, because we do also see like this rising tide of fans like getting really invested in the business side. Like we see people who say like, oh, I'm staying up all night to get those
to
get
watch the financials.
Nintendo financials drop. But this happens in like a lot of like broad entertainment sorts of things, where in movies, like, oh, I need, did it break even? What was the budget? How much money did it make? How much money did it make in China? And like really like
digging into that.
Like I see it in sports of like, oh, you gave this guy this contract. Well, that's $2 million too many a year, and now I'm mad. And it's like we are engaging with these hobbies in these new ways that I would argue. I don't know that they make the hobby more fun. You're more knowledgeable, but it doesn't really impact your engagement with the end product or experience.
It's sort of like you're struggling against two opposite things. Like a hobby, by definition, is something that should be pure fun.
Right.
Something that you do in your spare time, something that you do for pure entertainment value. By getting bogged down sometimes on the business side, which a lot of the times is not very fun, because on the business side, you're going to learn about economic challenges. On the business side, you're going to learn about, you know, canceled projects or challenging things, price increases.
I mean, that's kind of a fact of like having a business or being a part of a business.
Exactly.
It is constantly, how do we solve this challenge,
this problem.
And after that, how do we solve the next challenge?
Exactly.
So you just kind of get exposed to this endless wave of challenges. Where it's like that's what a business is.
Yeah.
Versus like, here is the product that is meant for me as the end user. I'm enjoying that. Like I think back to like, you know, I used to get my news through Nintendo Power. There was no financial update. Here's the stock at the end of the magazine. So it's like, it was not something that I had to worry about. So it's like we have way more information, but I don't know that it's helping us enjoy this hobby more in the end.
Not saying like, you know, put your head in the sand and don't pay attention to the
world
around you.
It can be interesting, for sure.
It can be interesting, but like, remember at the end of the day, like, this is your hobby.
Right.
Like, hopefully you're playing video games because it's still fun for you.
Right.
You know, you're still engaging with video games because it's fun.
Right. So, you know, I think we're just, again, trying to give some perspective. You know, from people who've worked at Nintendo, people who've been around games for a really long time, it's like, from our view, it's like, the Switch 2 generation is really shaping up to be very cool.
Yeah.
And they're off to a great start. And it's just like, it's just a reality with every generation, every system. It's like some moments are going to be more exciting than others. The company will face challenges. There are games that are not necessarily going to be for you. But in the end, it's like, no, they're on a really great trajectory with this system. And it feels like they're set up for success.
Yeah. And I think, again, that the main thing to take away is that, like, they are playing the long game. They're definitely not playing the game where they're going quarter to quarter against investors and stock prices. That is a game that they are so not interested in. They're playing the long game. They want this to be a successful generation that has the longevity that Switch 1 had. They know that they are going to have a pipeline of really great games to, you know, support that. And even Mr. Furukawa himself said recently, like, you know, he's like, we are transitioning people over, but we're doing it. They can do it at their own pace. We're going to give them stuff where they, whenever they feel comfortable to transition over, there's going to be something for them there. So you can see right there, he's not like, everybody move now. Yeah. You know, he's not thinking about it in that way because they're really, they're playing the long game. So
yeah,
and so that's the thing that's, it's, I think, very different than other companies.
Yeah, and this whole thing, we didn't even mention the entertainment side of Nintendo, which is now a growing side of the business.
Sure.
Like, the Galaxy movie is about to cross $1 billion. We're getting into this time. We're probably going to start hearing about the Zelda movie. They've said there is more on the way. So, like, yeah, they're a properly diversified company now. The games are always going to be at the center, but that's a very positive thing for them to have multiple business dealings that all seem to be headed in a positive direction.
And everything, like, helps each other, too.
Right.
You know, they did already say, like, whenever the movie comes out, the game sales also rise as well. So they have an ecosystem to feed their long-term business plans.
Yeah.
So I think that's the thing, is like, they're not looking at it in a way where it's like, oh my gosh, we live or die, you know, every 3 months on these stocks and these investors, and that's going to dictate these decision-making things that we're doing. No, they have a long-term plan, and I believe in that, their plan. I think the plan is going to be all right. I think they're going to be okay. So yes, I don't think Nintendo is doomed. Do you?
Maybe not today, but there's still time.
We'll check in 3 months.
Yeah, there's still time.
The stock goes up or down.
But don't you feel better?
It's going to be all right, everyone.
Just need some perspective.
It's going to be all right. I think we should just all just get off the internet. I'm going to put the Mario Maker, the Paper Mario.
Oh, the perpetual reminder.
Here, remind ourselves. Let's go play a game.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Yeah.
And enjoy our hobby.
Good.
And not worry so much. All right. Talk to you later, guys. Bye.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.